Well, it's great to be with you. And a lot of anticipation, I feel so much in my heart for today.
Yeah.
Today.
Today.
We only have today. And our ability then to live each day to the fullest is so critical. I couldn't help but reflect in the worship this morning how this is 1 week prior to Easter. Am I not correct? Easter, Sunday, Passover, so forth. Next Sunday, correct?
Yes.
And if you go back and look in the scriptures, about 1 week prior to Christ's death, burial, resurrection, okay, was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I couldn't help but feel this morning in our worship, in the whole process that we've experienced so far, Christ is literally, he's coming to be, he's coming as an entry into your life, into my life. There's an entry of Christ. Not only into the physical Jerusalem that was, but to the Jerusalem of your own heart. There's an entry of Christ Jesus into the earth today. He's being infused into his people. And as they then, in that hour, they laid down their palm branches, they laid down their coats and so forth, we, in like manner, can't we just say this morning, Lord, in every way, in every possible way that we have within our knowledge and our beings, Lord, we lay and we open our lives before you. We uncover the roof that is over us. We literally open our spirits to you, Lord, that the invasion of Christ Jesus, the infusion of Christ Jesus, the risen Lord, would be realized in these earthen vessels. Hallelujah. Amen. We draw it, Father, in a new life, in a new way today. Amen. We draw your living life and presence that it will be transposed and rewritten and processed through each of our lives, that the emanation of it, Lord, shall loose all creation, shall loose the world from futility, and shall set us free in Christ. For this is our heritage in Christ, as sons and daughters of the Lord, as the prophecy so beautifully came this morning. Amen. We claim it in Jesus' name. All right. That is in result of the worship that is so alive this morning. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn with me to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 is where we will begin our scripture reading today. Now, today we're going to talk about the realm of spirit, which is, I think, apropos based upon all that we've experienced thus far in this service. We're going to talk about the realm of spirit. And we're going to talk about our loving Lord, as we've experienced him here this morning. And we're going to talk about you, who you are, what this means to you, and what you're becoming in Christ. Because this is the key thing, dear ones. The world is waiting. God himself is waiting for the sons of God to come forth. As a prophecy so beautifully came this morning, okay? We've had the message in the prophecies and in the worship this morning. So I'm just going to try to kind of wrap it all together, okay? In that Christ is coming to be revealed in his many-member body. I think this is the thing most Christians, yes, he's going to become, and we'll all see him. He'll physically be manifested, okay? But the preemptiveness to all of this is Christ to be revealed in you. You are going to be the reflection of the glory of the image of the one who's called you into heavenly realms. The word is being written upon your lives. All right? This is the great, great mystery to some. And they think it's foolishness, obviously, as the world thinks this whole spirit realm is foolishness. You've been called for a reason. You've been birthed for a reason. You are here for a reason on this planet. And you are birthed in this age for a reason. And our recognition of that is extremely critical. We are called to be the, shall we say, as the metaphor came sports-wise, the final leg, the fourth person in the relay race here. Those that have gone before us have handed the baton to us. Yes. We have a tremendous responsibility in Christ.
Yes. The harbinger.
The harbinger. The harbinger of the new things to come. And the heralders of and the declarers of the new day that's here in the earth. We're all sensitive this morning that there's an enlightenment, there's a newness, there's a freshness, something alive here today that we can have. And we're believing that by the time we get up and go our separate ways here, that we will know something of God was imparted to each life here. And that's my prayer for each and every one of us. We will know that we experienced something more than we had when we first came in these doors this morning. Amen?
Yes,
sir. All right. Psalm 62, please. I'm reading out of the new, or this is the International Version. My soul finds rest in God alone. Stop. There's enough to live on for a lifetime there. Because in today's world, we're being bombarded by all types of forces.
Yes, sir.
And there will be no rest for the world. I'm here to tell you, the world is going to continue to plummet into greater darkness, greater unrest, greater turmoil, because there is only one way for rest to occur. There is a this truth and this life is being of Christ is being revealed to you so that you can share it with all of your friends and contacts and people in the world, okay? New life is coming to the earth, and it's going to come through the people of God.
Yeah.
The greatest treasure in my mind of the United States of America and the greatest gift that God has preserved the United States of America for is for the heralding of the gospel of the kingdom to the rest of the world. We have been amongst most of the Western nations, for example, Sweden, Norway, Finland. You take a look, England, most of the Western world, they have been the dominant ones to send out the gospel. I mean, take the last 200 years or so, pretty much, maybe, okay? But these nations have also been led astray pretty much into great realms of flesh. But the great keys for America are the people that are sitting in rooms like this today, that are opening their hearts up to the light, to the truth, to the rest and the peace, because there's only one way to have rest and peace, and that is found in Jesus Christ. So, again, it's amazing living in the world today. Two forces are going to exist, greater darkness, greater confusion, and at the same time, juxtaposed to that, greater light, greater awareness. Greater clarity, greater peace, greater oneness, greater love. Two forces are going to be at work, okay? And we already know how it's going to come out. I'm looking at the winners of the earth today. You that sit before me and others throughout the earth that are opening their heart up to the light, to the knowledge of the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank the Lord that we have been able to hear and to respond with all of our hearts. All right, well, we can go on and on with this chapter, but he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Thoughts come in regards to Hebrews 12. The world is going to be shaken, dear ones. I want to get this across to you. The world is going to be shaken because everything that is of the world must be shaken out so that which is not of the world can be deposited. All right? And you look at your life, you say, gee, I've had nothing but shaking all my life. That's right. I've been shaken, rattled, and rolled, shake and bake.
Yeah.
You've been the epitome of the shake and bake because God has been working to shake out everything of us except himself.
Yeah.
And it's going to come through. We're going to be a bunch of clones. We're going to be the clones of Christ Jesus, but it's going to be manifested uniquely through your personality, through your vocabulary. Take a look at Amos. Prophet of God. You take a look at Isaiah, prophet of God. But you sycamore fruits for Amos, and his words were very simple, kind of the jargon of the layman. Isaiah, very prolific, you know, beautiful flow, tremendous grasp of the language.
Yeah.
Both prophets. It's going to be manifested through your personality. That's why the body of Christ will be made up of disparate parts. There'll be people in the world, I don't get it. There's so many different people here, young and old, and different backgrounds and occupation. Yeah, right. All different. Whereas the religious world is trying to pretty much a lot of regulations. Everyone's getting clones. You know, got to prophesy this way. Everyone's got to dress this way. Everyone's got to act this way. That's all religion. The more and more you come to spirit, the more and more there's disparate aspects, but promoting one truth, which is Christ. That's why I just love it today. Different psalms, prophecies, hymns.
Beautiful.
The contribution of everyone in a different way, but all glorifying Christ Jesus.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So, this is
extremely excellent psalm. I'll let you just read it again because I'm spending too much time here in the beginning in terms of just laying the groundwork of where we want to go here this morning. But everything is going to be shaken so that what cannot be shaken will remain. And this is why being rooted and grounded more and more in Christ Jesus is the only thing that cannot be shaken. Okay? In the world, you're going to have trouble and tribulation. But be of good cheer and be of rest because I have overcome the world, said Christ. Right? Everybody out there? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I mentioned that this message really is about the realm of spirit and your spirit and who you are and what you're becoming. This is the key thing. So I'd like to then open up 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you turn with me there, we're going to read a segment here that is going to highlight and be the center scripture for our exchange here this morning. So 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 9. We brought up this first scripture in Psalms only to emphasize the fact that the emphasis really in today's world and life must be rooted and grounded in God. Because everything is going to change. I think for those of us, no matter where you stand on the side of the argument, so to speak, with what's been taking place this past week in the United States of America, I think all of us can understand that this is just the beginning. We're just getting started of the transition. And while Satan is going to drive it one way, regardless of where you stand on the issues of anything in America or any other nation, okay, Satan is going to move the world in a direction that is one way, in destruction. Because he's a loser, and he wants to bring losers down with him. And he wants to basically destroy the whole world. He's a rebellion individual, a rebellious creature, nature to God. And he's trying to bring in, rebel the whole world with him in a rebellion to God. Okay? So, the great hope to me, as I mentioned, for America and for the countries of the world, will be the heralding and the harbingers of the realm of God invading man in all of the love of God that is being poured out and manifested in Christ. And this great witness, and this great testimony, that's why it's so important that we mature enough in Christ to be comfortable enough in Christ to be able to speak and prophesy and sing songs. Because if we can't do it here, I don't know how we're going to be able to do it out there. If we can't on Sundays just have an exchange of love and an encouragement of one to another, however you can do it here, I don't know how we can do it out there. So more and more, I believe that our services should just be a roaring torrent of the love of Christ being manifested and shared with one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. There should be explosion and an eruption of the love and life of God and being able to impart that with one another so that we spend an hour, hour and a half here on Sunday. It's something absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it has been, but there should be more of that, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, picking it up in verse 9 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Verse 9, chapter 2. Wow, we talked about this morning too. However, as is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his, capital S, Spirit. Okay. Now we know that God is Spirit, correct? And those that know God know him in the soulish realm and on the religious realm? No? Yes? No. They know him in?
Spirit.
Spirit. And they know him in truth. Okay. Very fundamental teaching here, but why is it that we don't have any pictures of Christ up here? Does it bother anyone here? What? Did you get a program, a menu when you came in here of what's going to happen today? You know, kind of a schedule of stuff? No? What really goes on here? I mean, it's just a building, windows, room. Fortunately, we have some air conditioning on a hot day like today. But it's kind of like stark, right? We could meet anywhere. It's the light and the life of Christ Jesus is here and how we're ministering to one another. And the more and more spiritual you become, then less and less the need of rules and regulations and all that, because you're serving one another in Christ in the love and giving preference to one another in Christ. So there's naturally a restraint of that you're going to love your brother and sister in God. You're going to serve them first. You're going to prefer them. This is why it's a tremendous thing. Think about it. I mean, politically speaking and culturally speaking, walking with God is, well, it's going to be the realm of the kingdom. I guess, dear ones, what we're going to say. And the sooner we get to an understanding of what the kingdom realm is, which is a realm that's coming to us by the Spirit, okay? It's not coming to us on the realm of the mind. It eventually filters up to our minds. But from Spirit, God the Spirit, to your spirit, not to your mind, not to your soul, the mind, the will, the emotion, it's coming to Spirit. And this is what Paul's talking about in this passage of Scripture. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Oh, wow. Okay. Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Well, if I'm going to know God, I better know Him in Spirit. Because that's how it's going to come to me. We say, I don't know the Spirit. I really can't get my arms around because, well, I can't see it. I can see you. I can hear your mind speaking as you communicate to me, you know. But the Spirit is kind of vague, right? It's kind of a vague thing. The things of God have always been veiled and hidden throughout all generations. But in this hour, we're going to see people that are going to move even beyond John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest of those that were born of women, it says. Wow. And yet he himself had to go back to Christ and say, bring his disciples, ask him, is he the one or should we look for someone else? John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God descending on Christ Jesus. He saw with his eyes. I'm telling you that it is going to be a spiritual revelation to us. Or it's not that real. You'll know a lot about God. There are people that know the Bible backwards and forwards. That does not mean they know God. You're going to know him in your heart. You're going to know him in your spirit. And that's where he's being revealed. The next great age to come for mankind, dear ones, is the realm of spirit. God made us spirit, soul, and body. And he breathed into us, Genesis 2, the breath of life. The suke, isn't that the word suke? The breath of life. That we became a living being before him. And this whole realm of spirit, we're hearing so much about it. I'm even hearing airlines named Spirit. Spirit Airlines. There's a car named Spirit. See, again, this deception comes in with Satan. He knows the realm of spirit is going to be revealed. And so he just slowly infiltrates with this, these different aspects of spirit, everything. You know, you got to have a better spirit. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, you know. You got to have this, this. They don't understand what they're saying. And the other thing, too, that came out last week with David is it's so important to know the source. You know, we're hearing our leaders and whomever. Oh, God bless you, God bless. It's just words, dear ones. It's just words. The heart of the matter is where it's at. Okay, knowing the spirit for which these people are speaking. We can go into that another day. Anyway. All right. So, we're going to know him in spirit. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Okay. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is extremely powerful. I mean, most of us think, okay, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe spoken tongues, maybe not, whatever. Spirit, boom, parted, done, rest of our life. And Pentecostal movement was pretty much built on that. This is just a baby step. We're just a step there. Because the Holy Spirit is the only way we're communicating with God the Father. Forgive all your praying five times a day, Muslims. Sorry, no works here that's going to do it. It is how your spirit reacts to the loving life of the Spirit of Christ, being permeated to it and being revealed to it. So it's a response of your spirit. Now the will is very close in line to the spirit, okay? This is why John 7:17 says, if any man
is willing to Christ.
Yeah. So, if any man willeth to do his will, he will know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. So, the will is closely aligned to the Spirit. And that's about all we'll say about that at this point. But we're talking about the necessity, not that I hope or like that, the necessity of your spirit coming alive as it has been touched by the Holy Spirit, and the development of your spirit back to the Heavenly Father and in Christ Jesus. This is why Christ died. See, I wish he wouldn't have. I mean, he died in love for us. Why? So that as the prophecies came out today, so that we could be with him in heavenly realms. I mean, he's the firstborn of many sons and daughters, as the prophecy came out this morning. That's why you're going through all these things, because your life is being transformed. So much of the soul life is being saved. Your spirit was saved the moment that the Spirit of Christ ascended upon you. But it's the process of the soul that is being saved.
I mean, I still have my wife. I still have anger. I'm still, my tongue is bad and so forth. So it's a process of me being saved completely, entirely. The soul life is being saved. Okay? Your mind is being redeemed, right?
Right.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, again, it's how the Spirit begins to invade and then to change all things within us. That's why soul winning, as we've known in the past, doesn't work. The four spiritual laws, forget it. Okay? You're trying to persuade man on an intellectual level, you're a sinner. But it's the ability to be able, like John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Bitterness came out of her, resentment, oppression. But Christ just kept ratcheting it up. So finally he got to the heart of it. In Revelation, of course, he spoke as a prophet to her. Ooh, that opened up all things. Who would know that? Again, the whole aspects of the functioning realm of spirit, of revelation knowledge, was manifested. And obviously she then went back to the city, turned the whole city. They all came out to Christ. And it was amazing. In Samaria. Samaria. Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Need to pick up the pace here, Jeff. Okay, this is what we speak. This is verse 13. This is what we speak. But forgive me. Verse 12, please. We have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit which is from God, that it was freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, combining or expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. This is extremely deep. We could talk a lot about seminaries and all of this, but I think the thing Paul recognized here was that he was combining the spiritual awareness and understanding that he had in his spirit with spiritual words to speak to people. And that's how he was communicating. We should have a word, some teaching perhaps on emanation or emoting who you are. That would be another excellent lesson or two. Because it's the ability that you have to, under the presence of the Lord, then when you speak just naturally to a person, be able to just flow. Not thee, thou, art, prophesy. No, that's all religion. But it's the ability naturally then, in your conversations with everyone, to be able to then to just impart like a river, as you're speaking to them, a flow of what you have in your life to them. In your business world, your connections, your families. This is a great key, so that you're imparting who you are and what you've become in Christ naturally to another human being. So Paul understood this, that he was combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words as he was using the language that he had, his language, Aramaic and the other languages that he spoke, I suppose. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. And that's very true, right? The world does not accept that. For they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Very, very powerful. I'm trying to then root and establish that we are a body of people that are dedicated to our developments, our growth and development spiritually. Because our spirits are actually the dominant aspect of how God created mankind, Adam and Eve. But through sin, all that's fallen away. So that the world has experienced more of a domination of flesh, of soul. But we're coming out of, and the age of the end of soul is rapidly going away. So that the realm, the dominant realm, of as we were created, spirit, soul, and body, will become the dominant factor. Okay? The age of the kingdom, as we know, 1,000 years of Christ ruling and reigning on earth, where Satan is bound, it is going to be absolutely of tremendous time to be here. Because with Satan bound for 1,000 years, think of what's going to happen. Without sin in the earth, without the devil raging, we've got that old guy bound for 1,000 years. Then he's going to come out for a little time and test the nations. That's a long time. Okay. All right. So I think we have covered this aspect of it pretty well. The final thing I would like to refer us to is John 16, if you please. John 16, picking up a few verses there. I think we've already identified it here just in an exchange. But John 16, 13 through 15, I'll read that quickly. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. So here's another factor. The realm of truth, wasn't it in the scriptures, who was it that said, what is truth? He said that to Christ, didn't he? It was Pontius Pilate. Pilate, right? Yeah, he said, what is truth? It's kind of in a flippant way. Well, he was looking at truth. Christ is the truth. This is why the farther away we are from the truth, the less truth there is within us. And certainly with the world. Yeah. You wonder, how can any truth be in the world? You know, unless they have the Prince of Truth. There's a commingling of a lot. And human nature is deep, dark, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? According to Proverbs, right? So we're looking for more and more truth to be revealed to us. And of course, that's in Jesus Christ. Okay, so when he, the truth, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he has heard, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why the Spirit will take from what is mine and is going to make it known to you. This is why Christ knew that he had to go to the cross and die, because he recognized and understood that for future generations to come in to know, it had to be by the Spirit, and it had to be by this process, so that he could redeem, according to the plan of God, mankind back into a oneness with him. We're on a long circle from Adam and Eve, dear ones, all our way around to where we were created to be, to live in a oneness with him, to live in a harmony with him, to have unbelievable capabilities of our minds. We probably use at best 7% of the conscious mind. 93% is probably dormant, subconscious level. But in Adam's day and Eve's day, I think they had full use of the unlimited capabilities of their minds. Another realm that God's going to open up to only, I think, later. But nevertheless, we are being redeemed, dear ones, by the blood of the Lamb. You are being transformed by the Spirit of Christ, not by any works that you can do, lest any man should boast. But it is spirit to spirit. This is why the emphasis from this pulpit and from other places has been so strong, that we are spiritual beings, and like to like in a mirror, we are reflecting the glory of the Lord. That's going to be one key for us as we end up today with a couple of keys. All right, and we're going to have to move quickly to get to those keys because I'm running on here in time. But I want to then share with you a couple of keys that you can begin to take home with you, so to speak. Some takeaways, as we say in the business world, that you can take away with you. You can remember. You can remember and begin to, shall we say, apply as the Spirit will lead you. Okay? Okay. So, all this is pretty straight, I think. I'm going to conclude here in the next short term here, giving you a few things, shall we say, on the negative side first, to kind of be on your guard for, and then I'm going to leave you with a few things on the positive side that hopefully you can begin to apply and make a part of your life as you're looking to grow and develop in Christ, okay? On the, shall we say, the things to kind of yellow flag, okay, be aware of, all right? I'd classify them as oppressions and walls, and we could say restraints and withdrawals. A lot there. We could go in a lot into those areas, but let me just say, On the walls side,
in all of life, just living, we begin to naturally begin to put up walls. Kind of wall this out, separate this. So you compartmentalize your life, probably a little too much than what we need to. But the pressures of life, you almost have to. From raising a family to jobs to relationships to just living, all right? There's a certain amount of, excuse me, walls that we begin to naturally, inherently put up. Start when we're very, very, very young. Babies. Okay? And we need to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to show us where we might be walled off. Because the Spirit, unlike your mind, the Spirit puts up more of a general wall of a general nature. It doesn't know how to compartmentalize. So the more walled off you are in your life, the less open you are. And the less open you are means the less filtration, shall we say. The less you can reflect, the less you can absorb. It's like sunlight. If you put a screen or a barrier up between the sun and you, you're going to get less light to be tanned or whatever, right? So we want to remove barriers, right? Walls are real barriers. And all of us really need to look into the Spirit on how we might be walled off from the Lord. And that's kind of somewhat of a personal thing that I just want to share with you. Also oppression. You can have a lot of oppressions on your life. I won't go too much on that, but just to mention it. I think a lot about a scriptural example there. Like Jonah, okay? He kind of resisted and withdrew from the Lord and kind of put a wall up to how it was all going down. You go back and read the book again. God had to get his attention, you know, had him in a fish for a few days and brought him back, and he kind of became a little more willing after that. Sometimes God used some drastic measures on all of us, right? How many people have been in the belly of a whale, right? Yeah. Seaweed all over him, and gastric juices probably turned his skin to green or something. Who knows, you know? But, hey, God will, a lot of different aspects God has to get our attention. Okay? So, walls, oppressions, restraints, any sort of withdrawals. A couple examples of withdrawals are, you know, remember Lot's wife. You know, don't look back. It's like I always say, don't look back unless you want to go that way.
Paralyzed by bitterness.
Bitterness, another extremely debilitating and limiting, grounding effects. So these are things kind of like, should we say, like almost like barnacles that kind of latch onto your boat, your vessel. And, you know, every 30 days, you know, for those of us that have boats, whatever, you know that you've got to clean the bottom of the boat. Kind of a deburring and... Or if you go trekking in the mountains, you get these little burrs on you. Well, you keep those things off. Keep them clean. Yeah. So that your spirit is more alive, more in tune with the Lord. Another one would be Timothy. Paul spoke a lot to Timothy. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Sin has a way of grieving the Holy Spirit. We can even lump things in here like fornication, drugs. They have an extremely limiting effect. So that who you really are is muddy, unclear. Turbid. And the real person of what you are in Christ is inhibited because there's so many attachments on your life. This is why for young people, probably more so than old people like me, right? This is why it's so important to maintain a clean life before the Lord. We understand that your body was made for the Lord. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay. But drugs... Very, 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 very destructive. Because again, it is an area that really holds one earthbound, shall we say, rather than allows you to be a contrary to what it appears to be. It's more of a psychic thing. So anyway, walls, restraints, are real barriers. Withdrawal are things that we have to really look to the Lord and really ask the Lord, Lord, show me about my individual life. Just between you and me. It's like David said to Christ in one of the Psalms, against you, you alone, have I sinned. Right. This is a deep thing, dear ones. So it's important that we take time and allow God to show us areas that need to be washed away by the power of his blood. Okay? So that we can be a clean vessel in the Lord. And a testimony that reflects him as purely as possible. So that they no longer see you, but they feel and they see Christ. Christ is speaking forth from them to me. I receive something of Christ from you. And this is another area where everyone says, well, I'm not sure, Revelation. Well, Revelation does come to your spirit. It doesn't come to your mind. It's going to come to your spirit, and then slowly between the spirit and the soul, it's permeated to the soul so that out of the soul, the mind, then the truth is witnessed and spoken of. But it comes. This is why Revelation is so important to have in this hour as never before. And that's why the spirit world God wants to restore. Because as he restores your spirit to his spirit, then he can freely exchange to you, it's a pipeline, unlimited knowledge, understanding, information, power, truth. This is why, you know, long ago they were looking for the prophets. And we're going to come back to this too. They were looking for the prophets. Better go consult the prophet, Elijah. That's right. David consulted with Nathan. Right? These guys had a pipeline. They knew the score, is what we'll say. Oh, yeah. They were in tune. You talk about the school of the prophets, even under Samuel. Do you know that Elijah, your master, is going to be taken from you today? These boys were clairvoyant. It's remarkable. But all those are restored aspects. And last week, didn't it come out that, the spirit of discernment? We talked a little bit about that, David's word, the importance of the spirit. So that the application, the nine functioning aspects, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the nine functioning aspects, as well as all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, are coming forth from your life. How? Because you manufacture them? No. You can't manufacture those things. Love? You can put on human love. We're talking about a divine love. Oh, now we're talking about something different. So this comes from the Spirit. His Spirit depositing within your spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We should be a functioning people of prophecy. Healings. Tongues, interpretation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It's like normal. But yet, for most of the Christian world, it's like, oh, that's like, oh, then you're Pentecostal. Or you're just these are normal functioning things that everybody should be doing. It's normal. Get back to normal. Okay, so that's the negative side. Let's finish up right now on the positive side. We'll give you five things, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir.
All righty. So, quickly, what might help for some of you is this little... Consider spirit as a substance. Weight, mass, a substance. Just throw that out there. That's normal. All right. The fullness of Christ in every is the key to every answer. The fullness of Christ in you is the key to the answer. So your time of, we'll say, of awareness or practicing the presence of the Lord, as we talked about a lot through the years, is so critical. You've got to reserve time for practicing the presence of the Lord, just a communion time with Him. And in that kind of leads to the third thing, which is, you know, more waiting on the Lord. There were some people, I think, we talked to Carol this morning, waiting on the Lord just for different things. And this is the witness that can come by your time of waiting on the Lord. It talks about that so much in the Psalms. Because we're looking for the appropriation of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit is what we're wanting. And now, I think, too, I'd like to add this one. Paul spoke in tongues more than you all, he said, right? He says, you know, but in the house of the Lord, you know, you should speak in tongues, at the most two or three should speak. There are rules on kind of how it should go in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Prophecy should dominate, but the inflowing, practice your gift. Not just a one time when you practice the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that is your language to God. And I don't think that Satan really understands that language. It's a unique language between you and God. This is why fluent speaking in your prayer time, your quiet time of speaking in tongues is such a refreshing thing for you. I mean, Paul really understood this. He spoke a little bit about it. Gave us a little clue on it. You know, I speak in tongues more than you all, but in the church, I'd rather have you directed it differently for the family. So the infilling in that way of the appropriation of the Holy Spirit through waiting on the Lord, speaking of tongues. Aggressive submission to the Word and to the will of God. This is so critical. The aggressive submission in our lives to His Word. And then we can say intercessory prayer, the prayer of love. We'll say that. This really is very, very important to keep your spirit alive and open and flowing, because the Spirit will witness to you, different ones will come to you, and your ability to carry those people in the Spirit, to pray for them, it's a key to our life as a family, and it also develops even a greater connection between you and the Heavenly Father, because
The Spirit is interceding for all of us all the time, it says. So as we step into the realm of what the Spirit is doing, now we're really flowing. Now we're really flowing with God. And I think probably the greatest key of all is our worship. Our worship. And that's why when you first maybe came into, let's say, what we're doing here, it was kind of strange, wasn't it? The worship and all of that kind of. But it's the one great key we know, number one, is something we're going to be doing for all eternity. Read again the book of Revelation. It's something we're going to be doing for all eternity. And as we step into the worship of the Lord, deep, deep reverent worship, it does more to transform your mind and to build our life with Him than anything else, I really believe. Psalm 62 leads in, and maybe we'll just conclude with this before we perhaps maybe sing a song ourselves, leads into Psalm 63, obviously. And Psalm 63 is so beautiful. Let me just read it, if I could, a few verses here. 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. Ooh, isn't that fantastic? In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I've seen you in the sanctuary. He's alive and aware. And beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. That's just fantastic. Out of the worshiping heart, of course, comes that great relationship to the Lord. Well, I hope that this word has been maybe a help. In a step that all of us can take, and that the Lord, by His Spirit, He'll move us along, certainly from glory to glory. Amen.
Amen.
That's it. Turn this on. Now.